We're going to continue today in the series I'm doing on trust, and I'm going to do just a couple of quick things, and I don't think I'll get to the main core of what I was hoping to share today, but we'll do our best. I'll do, if you listen quick, I will teach quick, okay? So Father, speak to us today, help me, and accomplish what you're wanting to accomplish today. Again, we thank you that you're in control, time is yours, and so we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a definition we've been using on trust from Paul David Tripp. He says, it'll be up on your screen, trust is being so convinced that you can rely on the integrity, strength, character, faithfulness of another that you are willing to place yourself under his or her care. You know, and we're talking about trust in regards to relationships between two people, relationships between families, relationships in the church, and it's built over time. And trust requires constant attention. It requires constant attention because it can be broken so easy or damaged so easy. And so it takes a lot of attention. Shamologist says this. He says, trust cannot be demanded. It must be earned through honorable behavior, repeated over time. Leaders who protect trust as a strategic asset create organizations that are stable, respected, and resilient. Where trust is strong, everything else becomes easier. And that's true just in relationships. When there is trust in a marriage, everything is easier. When there's trust between siblings, everything's easier. When there's trust in the church, everything's easier. When they're not, things just become very, very difficult. And so, again, the more I study, the more I just, this is important, this whole idea. I've been using it as an illustration. I'm skipping a whole bunch of stuff, but I've been using it as an illustration, the Brooklyn Bridge. And just as a quick review. So the Brooklyn Bridge, the roadway is the road of trust. Okay, that you have to pass over trust between two people, between organizations, whatever it happens to be. The anchorage for the cables, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, one side of the bridge, one the other side, the anchorages are honesty. If you don't have honesty, you cannot have trust. Okay, it just doesn't work. And then, the towers, which we talked about last week, the towers are what holds up the roadbed, and the towers are the character of a person. Because a person can be honest, but if they don't have character, you don't have trust. So that's kind of what we talked about last week. We talked about cables. Cables are all the things that go together to hold up the bridge, to hold up the trust relationship. You know, things like being responsible, things like being there for the person. Consistency. I talked last week about consistency, being faithful, all of those kinds of things. And so I'm going to turn the corner. I want to talk about today just a little bit of introduction stuff, and then we'll jump into it next week. What do you do when trust has been damaged? What do you do when trust has been broken? And what do you do when betrayal has happened? Okay, all of those are, so I'm kind of using this as a thing. So when trust gets, something happens with trust, you start on this end, trust can get damaged. There's still trust. You know, I said to someone this week, I said, just because that person has done this, in a counseling appointment, I said, just because that person has done that, it doesn't mean that all trust is broken. I said, I hope, and it was an eye-opener to me, I hope in all of this talk about trust that I'm not giving people a definition or verbiage to then say, oh, well, you just broke trust. You know, and so all of a sudden now I'm doing more damage to relationships than I am helping them. So sometimes, though, trust just damages a relationship. And I said to this person, I said, all the things, think about the cables, all the things that go on. So, yeah, this was not wise of this person to do this. But it doesn't mean that all trust falls apart. Does that make sense? Trust was damaged, but it wasn't destroyed. But then there's the reality of things that happen in life where trust gets broken. So it's not just damaged, it's broken. But the broken trust can be repaired. And then there's betrayal that is very, very difficult to put back together. So those are the three things we're going to talk about. So in 1883, May 30th of 1883, was a Memorial Day in the United States. You used to always have it on the same day, a certain date, May 30th. And people were all across the Brooklyn Bridge. People were lined up across the bridge, and they're traveling from one side to the other, the whole thing. And a lady fell on one of the stairs, and she hurt very badly. And another person screamed And all of a sudden, because people were not certain this bridge could be trusted, they weren't certain that the bridge was secure, even all the things we talked about all the last couple of weeks, they were not certain. And so another lady screamed, and it started a stampede. And the New York Times has a quote from a guy who was there. He says, you look down the stairwell, and it was like there were dead people everywhere and people laying on top of each other. Only a dozen people died in the stampede, but a dozen people died. More than 30 people were injured seriously and had to go, get medical help at the local hospital. And so all of a sudden now the rumor was this bridge and all the expense in this bridge and all the things, this colossal thing that had been built, the towers were the tallest things that were, in the United States at the time, that it was unsafe to travel over. So almost a year goes by. On May 17th of 1884, P.T. Barnum and his circus is coming into town. My son-in-law, Rocky, told me about this, and I thought, and so I looked it up, I got a point I'm going to make on this, okay? P.T. Barnum had the idea. He had a circus in town. So he got together with the people from the city and had this idea that he would lead his circus from Manhattan to Brooklyn across the bridge. He had 21 elephants and 17 camels and all the other animals. They went across the bridge to prove that the bridge could be trusted with all of this weight on it. Now, it was a huge PR boom for P.T. Barnum and his circus. One of the elephants, the lead elephant, was called Jumbo. This is not an I think it's the next slide, isn't it? There you go. This is not an artificial intelligence done picture, okay? This is a real picture. He was 10 and a half feet tall at his shoulders. A basketball hoop is 10 feet. So if you just look at that, 10 and a half feet at his shoulders is a guess. Weighed 13,000 pounds, 6.75 tons. That's how much the whale, the elephant weighed. And it, all of a sudden people realized, man, if these guys could go across, anything's possible. So, see how much time I got. Okay, let's keep going. Gonna go fast here. Right from the very beginning in the scriptures, is one story or one account after another of betrayal. Right from the very beginning. They're in the garden, and Eve eats the fruit. She hands it to Adam. Adam eats the fruit. They realize they're naked. You know the whole story. And then God speaks to them, and what does Adam do? He throws his wife under the bus. Like, Adam, what have you done? He said, it was what? It was the woman you gave me. I mean, he just throws her under the bus. And then it's not but a short period of time later, and now you got Cain killing Abel. Talk about betrayal. And the stories just continue to go. So let me give you some other ones. Joseph is sold by his brothers. He's betrayed by the chief baker and the chief cupbearer. Delilah betrays Samson. It's why the story's so famous. I mean, it's just like you almost can't turn a page or a few pages without this whole reality of betrayal happening and broken trust in the scriptures. I read this scripture the very first week we started this a few weeks ago, and it's from Psalm 41, and I'll tell you the background of it. It says, even my best friend, it's coming up on the screen, I think it's in there, isn't it? There we go. Even my best friend, the one I trusted completely, the one who shared my food, has turned against me. When David's son started to come against David. David's the king of Israel. And his son, Absalom, decides he's going to overthrow his father. He's going to become king. One of his close advisors, a man who kind of basically lived in the palace, gave advice to him on everything that happened, he turned on David and he joined Absalom in Absalom's attempt to overthrow David's rule. Here's what it says. It says, now Ahithophel urged Absalom, let me choose 12. So this is David's, one of his closest advisors. He says, let me choose 12,000 men to start out after David tonight. I will catch up with him while he is weary and discouraged, and he and his troops will panic, and everyone will turn away. Then I will kill only the king, and I will bring the other people back to you as a bride returns to her husband. After all, it is only one man's life that you seek. Then you will have peace. Then you will be at peace with all the people. The plan seemed good to Absalom and to all of the elders. I mean, he's like, I'll go out. He gets 12,000 men. And he goes out and he says, but I'm only after David. That's the only one I'm after. I'm after David is all I'm after. So you can see why David writes and says, this was my closest friend. This was one of my partners. This is one of my advisors. This is one of the guys I did, you know, like I did life with. And he betrays me to my son to overthrow the kingdom. Or let's go into the New Testament. Again, I'm going real fast here. how about Jesus? How about the Last Supper? Jesus is sitting there with the disciples, and again, from Easter, I think there was more than just the 12. I think there was other people in the room at the time. And here's what it says. And he says to them, tonight, all of you will desert me. Tonight, trust will be damaged by all of you. Okay? And ultimately, trust will be betrayed by one of you. That's what happened, right? I mean, that's what took place. And in the middle, you could say, well, Peter did more than damage. Peter kind of broke trust. Remember what he said of Peter in the garden? Peter says, not me. I won't damage our trust. I won't break our trust. I won't betray you. If all these other guys, they're chumps, you know, they're going to do it. But not me. And Jesus says to him, no, it'll be you. Before the rooster crows tonight, you'll deny me three times. Now, whether that was over here of damage, or whether that was broken, or whether that was betrayal, you know, it's kind of a continuum. And Judas sells him. Sells him for 30 coins. And it says Judas Iscariot, this is in Matthew chapter 26, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priest and asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. And some of you have heard me say this before. From that scripture, the whole story together, when Jesus knelt down to wash Judas's feet, he looked Judas in the eye, and Judas had the money in his pocket. He had the betrayal money in his pocket when Jesus washed his feet. Crazy, huh? Crazy. So what ends up happening is sometimes trust gets damaged. Sometimes trust gets broken. And sometimes trust gets betrayed. And I want to talk about the next couple of weeks. I want to talk about, what do you do in each of those circumstances? How do you when you've damaged trust, and how does that get worked on when trust has been broken? How do you restore trust? And then what do you do when betrayal takes place? So that's what I want to talk about the next couple weeks. And the key thing of all of it, whether it's damage, whether it's broken, whether it's betrayal, the key thing is forgiveness. Key thing is forgiveness. Now, just bear with me and come back the next couple weeks. If you're not here, you know, go online, because I don't want you to get a wrong idea that I'm just saying, well, yeah, he damaged the trust. Well, just forgive him and get over it. Well, if it was only that simple, right? I mean, C.S. Lewis said, forgiveness is a good idea to everyone until they have to do it, because it's just so hard to do. So I want to help you. So I'm not just saying, well, just get over it. Just grow up and get over it. But forgiveness is key. So let me take you back to the elephants, okay? Let me take you back to the elephants first. One of the things that makes elephants incredible is their incredible memory. But one of the things that makes elephant, that reality, is they don't forget things, but one of the problems is they don't forget things. Okay? So, you know, when they caught elephants in captivity and then training, all that stuff, they tether an elephant. They tether it to a stake. They put a chain around his ankle, and the baby elephant or the young elephant. Again, this is not in the wild. This is in captivity, and we'll try to fight against that chain until pretty soon he realizes I can't get free, and it hurts to try and fight to get free. And so they just tether it. As the elephant gets a little bit older, they don't have to put as heavy of a chain on the elephant to keep it from roaming. And then when an elephant's an adult, they actually can just put a rope on the elephant with a, doesn't even have to be a metal around its leg. And the elephant has, because the elephant doesn't forget, it has this memory inside of it that says, you can't roam. You're not free. You have to stay here. You can't go where you want to go. Y'all tracking with where my illustration's going? Okay. This is what I'm talking about. If you stay tethered to the damage someone has done to trust in your life, you will not be free. If someone who's broken trust, if you stay tethered to that thing, it doesn't matter how much time. I mean, these elephants can be get to be full-grown elephants, and they could yank the stake right out of the ground and go wherever they wanted to. But their memory says, you can't go there because someone damaged you. Someone broke the trust. Someone betrayed you. You can't be free. You can't have a new life. You can't have a new future. You can't. Jesus came so that you could have a new future. Jesus came so you don't have to be tethered back to the damage that was done to you, the brokenness that was done to you, or the betrayal that was done to you. You can be free. Now, it doesn't mean there's not consequences that you may have to live with for a long time, but you do not have to stay tethered to your past. Everybody with me? I would hope more than a couple people said amen. Okay. And it doesn't matter whether it was a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a neighbor. It doesn't matter who it was. And that's what I want to talk about the next 2 weeks. Let me leave you with an application. This is one of the things that's key for me, or important for me. I realize that anytime any of you walked into this church door, okay, anytime any of you walked into this church door, like for the first time or the second time, and I don't know your church background, I don't know what's going on in your life, it's very possible to me as a pastor that you had trust damaged or broken or even betrayed in a previous church environment. Everybody with me? And so I see it as very important that one of the most important things I can do is to be as trustworthy as I can possibly be. Because if I can be trustworthy, it helps people believe that there are spiritual leaders out there in the crazy world we're living in who can be trusted. Okay? Now that comes with huge expectations, but I really feel that. And the application for you is one of the best and most loving things you can do for someone who's been betrayed in your life or broke, trust has been broken, trust has been damaged, is that you can be a trustworthy person. Because they need to know that they can trust other people. Again, it's like the people who said, yeah, you can't go on that bridge because it can't be trusted. It's gonna collapse. And that's where someone who's been damaged, someone who's been broken, or someone where, especially where betrayals happen, all of them, but over here in betrayal, I mean, significant, huge ways, they find it hard to trust anyone. I don't trust pastors. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that over the years. I don't trust pastors. That's sad. But people, it's a reality. And so just in your general life, there are some people in your life that God wants to use you to help them heal by being a trustworthy person. Okay? Part of why I'm teaching this. Not just for you to recover from damage, from brokenness, and from betrayal, but that you could help someone else. By how trustworthy you live, by how faithful you live, you could be someone who would help someone who's damaged, someone whose trust has been broken, and someone who's betrayed. You can help them find healing. Amen? That's a mission for us. That's a mission for us. Let's all stand together. We're going to have, right after I'm done praying, and thank you for coming back online, those of you that came back online with us. I don't know what the numbers are, but thank you. We're going to have some of our leadership team, our elders up here. They would love to pray with you. And please don't hesitate. We already talked about, we believe in prayer. There might be something in your life. There might be something in one of your friends' lives. There might be something in a family member's. It could be finances, direction, whatever it happens to be. Don't leave the room without letting them pray for you before we're dismissed. So everybody with me on that? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you understand this whole thing of trust and damage and brokenness and betrayal. You understand it. You watched it in other people's lives. You watched it in your life. You experienced it personally. And healing from it is one of the reasons you came to this planet, was so that people could build trustworthy relationships. That description of love in 1 Corinthians, where it believes all things, hopes all things, it's the whole idea that we could be trustworthy towards one another, that you can create that in our life. Father, I pray that right now, the next few minutes, the next hours today, there's someone that maybe you've even laid already on someone's heart, and if not, you would lay it upon their heart. Someone in each of our circle of influence, our sphere of influence, that we could be the trustworthy person that helps them heal and learn what it means to be able to trust again and to trust other people and ultimately to trust you. So help us, Jesus, to see the what that is, who that is, and to be faithful to do what we're supposed to do, to help that person heal and learn to trust all over again. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this planet for us. Thank you for leaving the most trusted place that's ever existed to come to a terribly untrustworthy place, to untrustworthy people, in order to build trust. So thanks for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Come get prayer. Those of you that are headed out, have a great day. And if you're online, thanks for joining us today. Make sure you stop and see the Hinkles out in the foyer. Grab one of their prayer cards. God bless you.